for about 15 minutes.
Okay, thank you. Can you hear me, everyone?
Yeah.
Yeah, so my name's Christine, I'm an addict, not used to talking through a microphone, you know. Thanks for, you know, it's good to be of service, and this meeting for me was very paramount in my early recovery. I used to come here, it was absolutely, you know, it's changed a lot, hasn't it? God, it was like packed to the rafters when I used to come here. But someone was saying, you know, there's a few other meetings that have started up in the area at similar times, and you know, that's a good thing that meetings are, there's becoming more and more meetings in London. You know, we're lucky. I mean, when I first sort of sought treatment, I was sort of 21 years old. I'd been using drugs since I was 13, and NA wasn't there. It wasn't available, really. Nobody had suggested to me go to an NA meeting. You know, the suggestions were always sort of maybe a bit of counselling, maybe, you know, it was always involved some sort of treatment centre. It always, and eventually, obviously, it involved scripts and stuff like that, seeing a consultant psychiatrist on a regular basis. And I was lost. I was caught up in that loop. I didn't know how to get out, and just like, you know, like most of us, my life was just spiralling out of control. And I had many attempts at trying to get clean, but nothing really substantial. But say, when I was 21, I did that. And it took me to get to 50 years old before I actually got clean. And there's a lot of loss around that, you know, being a middle-aged woman. And I was sharing last night, you know, I share with my sponsor stuff that's going on with me physically as a middle-aged person. And yet when I'm sharing it to her, I'm saying to her, you know, but I feel like I'm 15. You know, it don't add up. The body and the mind don't add up, because emotionally, obviously, we're growing. Anyway, as I say, this... Every Friday night I used to come to this during my 90 and 90 and afterwards, and I actually did pick up my 6-month key ring here. After that 6-month key ring, I actually had a drink. Now, I couldn't accept drink was a drug. You know, it wasn't, I was using heroin on the street and crack, I wasn't using the alcohol, so why is alcohol, a drug? To me, it wasn't. And it took me a long time to actually accept that alcohol was a drug. And I did my step one the first time, and I wasn't happy with it. You know, we do this for ourselves, not for our sponsors. It's not an exam. But I wasn't really happy with this step one. So I redid it. And everything, any reservations that I had in the previous step one had now gone. And alcohol was one of those reservations that I said, you know what? I can't drink. If I have a drink, my mind changes. And when my mind changes, then I want other stuff. And so I'm now coming up to, what is it? I think I'm about 4.5 years now. So I would have been 5. I actually would have been coming up to around about 5 had I not had that drink. But do you know what? It ain't about that. You know, the more I look at clean time, it's not really about clean time, it's about how you are and how you are as a person, how you act in life and stuff like that. That's what it's all about with me, you know. And it's been, you know, my recovery has not been one of the easiest of journeys, you know. I remember somebody saying in a meeting, I was trying to get clean, I was on a methadone script, because I got clean in the rooms, I didn't go into a treatment centre, or into a rehab or anything. And I say, you know, life isn't, or was it through rose-tinted glasses and all that, you know, it's still, even though you, and I thought, fucking hell, have I got to come off drugs and it's still going to be shit, you know. I remember feeling and really felt low for a week, and it hasn't been easy, it hasn't, do you know what I mean? I came into the rooms, I'd no trade. And I know a lot of you men sitting here have probably done building work in your, when you were using and stuff like that. I had nothing. I didn't really know how to use a computer. Those were the simple, the basic stuff that most people take for granted. I didn't know how to do. And I had a passion. I started off, I was making films and stuff like that. And in a treatment centre as a part of aftercare. And I really enjoyed it. I thought, oh yeah, you know, this is something I love. I really like, and I'm not bad at it. So I decided to pursue that. And then I started getting into photography. These things have come from me. I never knew these things before existed in me. I'm 50 years old and they suddenly start existing, coming out of me, you know, all this creative stuff. But, you know, and it's gone places, you know what I mean? I have gone places with that. But in the background, I've still been struggling. You know, for 3 years, 3.5 years or whatever, I was on 58 quid a week. And we all know what the government stuff's like. We know what the government's like today, you know. And it was hard. It was hard when I see, you know, or saw people going to conventions, doing this, doing that. And I was doing all the work, but it wasn't really, whatever it was, wasn't happening. In the rooms as well, I was Hep C positive. I came in Hep C positive. I was 27 years Hep C positive. I'd done interferon. I'd done all those things and I hadn't cleared it. And I'm grateful because I've cleared that now. You know, I was very fortunate that I got in the new treatment a couple of years ago. And I've now cleared that. And I feel physically a lot better. And I'd come out of this, you know, I'd been about a year clear of Hep C, and then I went into, this was a couple of years ago, but I went into sort of a really bad depression. A depression I'd never felt before, do you know what I mean? It was hard, and you know, and I have these fears around mental health myself. I don't take anything, prescribed medication for it. And I'm not one of those that I'm not a martyr. If I'm in pain, I take painkillers. And if I've got other stuff going on, I will take those things. Because part of my recovery is learning about boundaries with medication. But I sought alternative ways, counselling. And it was dark, it was hard. I was just crying all the time. I felt so lonely, I felt lost, everything. It was horrible. And I came out of that depression for about a month, and I was suffering from basically I was what women would want to say, I was spotting, you know. I was going through the menopause, so I went to my doctors for HRT treatment, and I don't know. I kept seeing this HRT, and I thought, oh, right. I might feel better if I take this, I'm going to feel better. And my doctor said, yeah, you know, you can have HRT as long as we get, you know, get you checked out first. I went to the hospital, the gynecologist said, like, you've got a thickness around the womb, a lining of the womb, so I want you to go have a DNC. So I went in for the day, had the DNC, and the surgeon said to me afterwards, he said, everything's brilliant. We'll have you on HRT in no time. You'll feel a different woman. So, when I've gone back to the results, the gynecologist said, you've got cancer. And I was like, not 1% of me believed or had, you know, any tests I've gone through in the past, I've always thought, there's a little bit that I might hear bad news, but I wasn't. It was like, what the fuck? And you guys, you know, you got me through it, you know. My first thought was, what about my dog? What about money? How am I going to work? That was all my thoughts, you know what I mean? And, hey man, you guys came through and you've come through every fucking time for me. You know, we say we're carried in the rooms. And, at certain times, but when I look at my whole recovery, I've been carried in one form or another. Do you know what I mean? and that's what I love about it. Anyway, I had to have a hysterectomy. So I was off my feet for a while, and I went back thinking, you know, I was told I might have to have radiotherapy and stuff like that. But I went back and she gave me the all clear. Now, 18 months cancer free. Do you know what I mean? And it has took me to a spiritually to another level, where I, do you know what I mean? You start to realise you aren't invincible anymore. And time is of the essence. And obviously getting, you know, getting clean at 50. How long have I got? 4 minutes. Getting clean at 50. Man, there's some time to, you know, I've got so much to do and it feels like a lot of time to do it. And, you know, I am living my dream. I mean, last Christmas, because of, you know, it was bizarre because it was just up the road here. Where I had hardly any money, I had to go to a place that gives out Christmas hampers. And I've never done that before when I was using. To do that clean, it took a lot of strength. And it was very painful just to accept that help from, do you know what I mean? Accepting help from others, getting humble. And 2 weeks later, I was having my film screened at the National Portrait Gallery. That's the balance of being an artist. And it's really hard to roll with that. And I've had some changes, you know, this year. Everything, financially, things have changed. I've had some touches now and I feel in a better place. And, you know, this Christmas, it's going to be a better Christmas than I had last year. Last year, I couldn't buy any treats to go out to, you know, Marks and Spencer or wherever and buy those little things we would like. This year, I don't know if I'm going to be buying them because I'm trying not to put on more weight, do you know what I mean? So it's a bit of a catch-22, but do you know what? I don't fear Christmas. Like I remember my first Christmas in recovery, I feared it with people drinking and stuff like that. But now, do you know what? For me, people take drugs and people drink in this world. And the sooner I accept that, the easier it is to deal with. So yeah, you know, I do service regularly. You know, I've got two commitments. I started a women's meeting a couple of months ago, and it's going very well. I've got a couple of commitments. I've got a sponsor. I'm not very good at the step work, if I'm honest. You know what I mean? Because you know, it's like I've got so much to catch up on, and you know, and I know it should. It's finding that balance, isn't it, between work and step work, and it's always like that. So yeah, I think I'll leave it there actually. Anyway, wish you all a Merry Christmas and I hope it's a happy and happy new year for you guys, yeah?
Thank you. Thank you.